God has gifted you somewhere, and maybe it's even a gift that you wouldn't necessarily have chosen, but he has gifted you somewhere, and that gift is to flow through you to gift to the church. He gifts the church through you, and maybe, mm-hmm. This could be teaching, it could be things like singing, it could be things like simply serving, being handy. Are you responsible for that gift? Are you crafting it and making it better? Well, Paul wants to talk about that today in 2 Timothy chapter 1.
Yeah, and you're listening to Between the Lines. I'm Scott.
I'm Junior.
And 2 Timothy 1, you want to get started, Junior?
Yep. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. I've been sent out to tell others about the life he has promised through faith in Christ Jesus. I'm writing to Timothy, my dear son. May God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord give you grace, mercy, and peace. Timothy, I thank God for you, the God I serve with a clear conscience, just as my ancestors did. Now we see that clear conscience will be repeated throughout this book. Mm-hmm. Night and day, I constantly...
It's funny that more so in 2 Timothy than 1 Timothy. It's like, it's on his mind.
Yeah.
I think he's getting older. You know, this is a little time has passed since 1 Timothy.
Yep.
And so more and more this is on his mind about having a clear conscience in his life.
That's right. Night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. I long to see you again. For I remember your tears as we parted, and I'll be filled with joy when we are together again. I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I know that same faith continues strong in you. This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. Fan into flame, meaning crafting your gift, that the most special thing that you can have is what God gave you to gift to others. Mm-hmm. And are you crafting it? Are you working on it? Are you applying it? Are you putting it into practice?
And, with your opening statement, I think that the mistake that so many of us believers make, rather than making the most of however we've been gifted, we tend to envy the gifts of others.
Like, yeah.
I wish I had that gift instead of my gift. Yeah. And I how many times have I heard people say, when I get to heaven, I'm going to be able to sing like so-and-so. And I don't necessarily, I don't think that's going to be the case. I think the difference between now and heaven isn't that I'm going to become a better singer. I'm just going to be more appreciative of other singers and not feel like I need to be able to do as well as them.
And your gift will be perfected, so you'll be happy with your gift too.
I think that, and I'm not sure if that's an interesting conversation as well. I'm not sure that it will be perfected. Because I think that we've got all of eternity to continue to work on it and craft it and make it better.
I did hear a podcast that talked about heaven and how this person thinks that heaven will only get better and better and better with time because we have been designed for progression.
Yeah.
And so over time, heaven just continues to get better. If it was just always the same, it would...
Yeah, I've always thought that. I counter that argument that in heaven, we're not going to make any mistakes. Now, we're not going to sin. But I think that we have the potential of making mistakes and learning from those mistakes and doing better
still
and improving.
Trip and fall.
Yeah, I think that, we may slip and fall, but I don't think we'll kill ourselves when we fall.
Sure. Yeah.
So now that's speculation, and I'm not sure that really has a lot to do with this text.
I don't know, but if there's no mistakes, and it's going to be hard to laugh.
Right.
It's kind of fun to laugh at mistakes. Anyways,
exactly.
We've really digressed here.
Yep.
So fan into flame the spiritual gift. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity. He's given us a spirit of power, love, and self-discipline.
Yeah, that's good.
So never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. Don't be ashamed of me either, even though I'm in prison for him. With the strength God gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news. For God has saved us and called us to live a holy life, a set-apart life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan from the beginning of time to show us his grace through Christ Jesus.
Yeah, and sometimes it's important for us just to sit back and think, man, I'm grateful. I'm just really grateful for God's goodness to me because it's not what I've earned, but I'm grateful.
Yeah. You want to take it?
You bet. In verse 10, and now he has made all of this plain to us by the appearing of Jesus Christ, our Savior. He broke the power of death and illuminated the way to life and immortality through the good news, the gospel. It is, of course, through his resurrection. And God chose me to be a preacher or a proclaimer, an apostle, that is, an advocate, one who represents, and a teacher of this good news or this gospel. Verse 12, that is why I'm suffering here in prison. But I'm not ashamed of it, for I know the one in whom I trust. And I am sure that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until the day of his return. That is, the commitment that I have made to following him, he is the one who is in guarding, who is guarding that commitment. And I don't have to worry about it going away. Hold on to the pattern of wholesome teaching you learned from me, a pattern shaped by the faith and love that you have in Christ Jesus. Through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within us, carefully guard the precious truth that has been entrusted to you. As you know, everyone from the province of Asia has deserted me, even Phygellus and Hermogenes. I think it's Phygellus and Hermogenes. I think we debated that last time we went through this. I've never heard any bond or person named either one of these names, though.
Yeah.
So they evidently weren't examples. May the Lord show special kindness to Onesiphorus and all his family, because he has often visited and encouraged me. Now, he was a good guy, but no, I don't want any kids named Onesiphorus either. So, you know, any young parents out there, you're expecting a child, and that might be a good name, Onesiphorus, right, if you're looking for a good Bible name.
There you go.
He was never ashamed of me because I was in chains. When he came to Rome, he searched everywhere until he found me. May the Lord show him special kindness on the day of Christ's return. And you know very well how helpful he was in Ephesus. So Onesiphorus.
Good old Onesiphorus.
You know, it's interesting because I'm reading, last time we went through this book just last week, and I remember the name from then as well, but it's not a name. I mean, when's the last time you've ever heard that name cited? And yet he was obviously a wonderful, godly man.
Yeah.
So, you know, Josh and Emily, they're expecting twin boys. I would say, Josh, you ought to really consider Onesiphorus for one of those boys.
Oni. There we go. I love it.
All right. Well, we're going to get over to Proverbs now. So we're in Proverbs 25.
Proverbs 25.
And this is a good verse here, verse 15. And so read the whole chapter, but verse 15 says, patience can persuade a prince, and soft speech can crush strong opposition. Patience can persuade a prince, and soft speech can crush strong opposition. Yeah. We think that the way you crush opposition is just get louder.
Yeah.
And you get more passionate and more angry about what it is that you're trying to get them to believe. But Solomon said, no, that's actually the way you show. The good way to know that you've lost is when you start having to get loud in order to try to win your argument.
Yeah.
He says, patience is the way to make a difference in people's lives. You can even persuade a prince with patience. And it's soft speech. Or what your mama often says, a soft answer turns away anger.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. Well, today is Thank You Thursday.
Okay.
So, is there anybody in your life that you've been expressing gratitude to? We'll just put it that way. So maybe it's texting a parent, or maybe texting a coworker, texting a family member, texting a friend. Just thank you for being there and being grateful for them, and expressing in detail why you're grateful. That means even more.
So. And all the more for those of you that aren't used to doing it. So some people, you hear thank you so much from them that you almost aren't sure that it's genuine anymore.
Sure.
But I'd rather have that.
Yeah.
But then there are some of you that you say thank you so little that you feel awkward when you do it.
Yeah.
All the more, this is a great time for you to get in the habit.
Yep.
Start expressing appreciation.
Absolutely. All right. Make it a good day. Go say thank you. See you tomorrow.